Hare Krishna. I was requested to speak this evening on His Holiness Tamal Krishna Maharaj. This is the third month since he has disappeared from our vision. So I should begin by giving some background, how I came to know, first meet His Holiness Tamal Krishna Maharaj. I was part of a traveling Sankirtan party in the early 1970s, which came to be known as the Radha Damodar Party. At the point I joined, it was still known as the First Transcendental Experience Roadshow. There were several sannyasis who were in charge of the program. It was a traveling entertainment kind of program with a music band and actors. And of course there were cooks, and there was even, in those days, they used to have light show. This is something I don't know if you see anymore. But that was a whole art into itself. Projecting images on the wall, moving colors. So this started in the hippie days. These devotees had adapted it to Krishna conscious themes. And so they were traveling like this, putting on shows. Also there was Sankirtan party, going out to sell Prabhupada's books, collect Lakshmi to support this. So I joined still while it was this program, but immediately then they separated. And the dramatic and musical part, the artistic part, stayed in New York. And those sannyasis, there was a couple of sannyasis who were directing that. They all stayed in New York. And Vishnu Jana Maharaj, he took one bus, because there was something like three buses for this program. So he took one bus with the Radha Damodar deities and about six or eight brahmacharis, and I was new to that group. And we went south. So his program was doing college, university programs. He had a few brahmacharis with him. They would do a nice bhajan, and he would give lecture. And prasad would be distributed. And for my part, I was with the boys who were traveling ahead of the bus. We would do sankirtan, distribute books, and one of our group was also going out and arranging the programs for Maharaj to come. So this was, I've forgotten the year, maybe 1973. 73, 74, like that. And I had joined in the Boston Temple, joined ISKCON in the Boston Temple, and I joined this party also there and left and went south with Vishnu Jana Maharaj and Radha Damodar deities. And so we were touring for 2 years about that time. Now, Vishnu Jana Maharaj was an old friend of His Holiness Tamal Krishna Maharaj. Tamal Krishna Maharaj was from New York, and he went from there before becoming devotee. He had gone to California, and he had ended up on the Morning Star Farm, it was called, a kind of hippie community in the late 60s. And Vishnu Jana Maharaj was there also. And there were several other devotees, God brothers, like Gaur Hari Prabhu and Devananda Prabhu and some others who were. At that time, their Vaishnavism was not manifest. We don't have to say too much about that. Kamal Krishna Maharaj used to live in a tree, and he was very fond of playing the flute. He used to make wooden flutes, and Vishnu Maharaj also used to like to play flute, so they became friends. And so from there they joined the San Francisco temple. So there was this old relationship. Tamal Krishna Maharaj, at the time I became associated with Vishnu Jana Maharaj, was in India. And he became the GBC of India. It's not like now we have Jagataka Maharaj, GBC of some part, Gopal Krishna Maharaj, and like that, divided. But he was GBC of India, and this was in the, of course, the beginning days, Prabhupada's return to India. And of course, one could write a whole book about that, or several books, an encyclopedia. It was very hard, like my godbrother Bhakti Vidyapurna Swami says, because he came to India during those days, and he said, you, in those days, you considered yourself to have done a good day's devotional service if you stayed alive that day. It is not like now when you go to India, there's these nice big ISKCON projects, everything taken care of. Mayapur was a jungle, one hut in a field. And, you know, then there was the adventure in Juhu, getting that Juhu property and the police coming and the whole thing, all these things were going on. It was very rough and very wild. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj was there, trying his best to serve Srila Prabhupada in that very heavy, responsible position. But in about 1974, he just told Srila Prabhupada, more or less he said, Srila Prabhupada, that's it. I can't go on in this position, I'm sorry. Prabhupada wanted him to stay, but Maharaj was adamant. And so he came back to America and he rejoined his old friend and godbrother, His Holiness Vishnu Jana Maharaj. And then I think the history of Radhanagar Party from that point on is quite well known. There was a book about it. This phase of Radhanagar when they got minibuses. And actually I didn't remain so long at that point. I had become interested in Satsrupa Maharaj's library party, DVT library party. And so after maybe 3 months of Tamal Krishna Maharaj coming on Radhanagar program, I transferred to the DVT library party. But in those 3 months, I got to know Maharaj. We had some interesting pastimes. Practically the first meeting, the first time I met him, Vishnu Jana Maharaj introduced me. And then Tamal Krishna Maharaj said, oh, Sukhocha, that one was Brahmachari. He said, oh, you know, I've been learning Japanese massage, and I'd like to try it out on you. Just lay down on the floor. You know, the first meeting. So I laid down on the floor and he started walking on my back. How does it feel? That was sort of the keynote of our relationship. It was kind of funny. Sometime later, that was down in Florida. Then we went over to the California side, to Berkeley. And we were staying at a house of a good friend of ISKCON. I think he's still around. His name is now Jagannath Das. He's always involved in the Rath Yatra, but at that time he was not initiated. But we were staying at his house, and there one morning, as sometimes these things happen. So early in the morning, after Mangalarti, I was talking with one other brother, Brahmachari, and we made a kind of transcendental bet. You know, we were just talking, and he was the cook, yes, he was the cook. And he just made a big pot of gulab jamuns that had been offered among Mangalarti. So the bet was that I would eat There were big gulabjams. I would eat one gulabjam for every round I chanted. I was going to chant 16 rounds. So he brought it in the room. And I was sitting there and chanting every round as one big gulabjam snake. So this was just between me and him, but you know, there were some other brahmacharis coming in and they saw what was going on. So someone went down and saw Sumal Krishnamurti. So he came up, he had a very serious look on his face. And he opened the door and he was just watching me. And he just looked at me at the point when I finished one round. You could see I had pulled down so many beads, it was 8 or 10. And I was taking another. And he just looked and he just shook his head and closed the door and went out. So before the deity meeting, I had finished 16 rounds and 16 gulabjams. Then we came onto the bus to have darshan and Ravi Namarak. And normally, you know, there are two Maharajas. So normally one of them would give the class. So that morning, Tamal Krishnamurti was supposed to give the class. But he suddenly looked at me and he said, "You give the class." Because he thought that, you know, after eating 16 gulabjams, I wouldn't really be in very good shape. And I would, you know, give some kind of funny, ridiculous class, not be able to talk or something. So he kind of wanted to put all the spotlights on me so everyone would see that I'm, you know, silly or whatever. Wanted me to make a fool of myself. I think that was his intention. So I sat down and I gave a really, you know, fired up class. And then afterwards, he called me over and he said, this was time already, the plan was I was to go to the library party. He said, "It's good that you go to the library party." He said, "I can't deal with you." Even I'm trying in this way to correct you, but you give such a nice class, and so what can I do? I think Tamal Krishnamurti is well known to everyone, and his accomplishments are well known, and I'm not going to repeat all that. What I would like to say in particular is I think the most valuable lesson I got from my association with Tamal Krishnamurti is that his forceful personality was a push in my life to become mature. Because he was the kind of devotee who was very easy to be misunderstood. I'll give you one example. And no one should take offense because I'm going to explain the full context of what I mean by his forceful personality causing me to mature. But just to show how he was very often misunderstood by those who were not so mature perhaps, or not very insightful. There was one German professor. He was from Germany. And he was associating with ISKCON in those days, particularly he was, I think, usually in Los Angeles. He was an elderly, sort of elderly man, and one of these intellectuals who always had an interest in spiritual things, but not ready himself to be a devotee. And he was doing something with our Bhaktivedanta Institute scientists. He had some exchange going with them. And he knew Prabhupada. Prabhupada used to speak with him on morning walks. So he was kind of, you know, a figure that was known. But again, not I wouldn't say he's a 10% devotee, but interested in Krishna consciousness. So in Los Angeles, when we were there, Tamal Krishnamurti, at that time already the bus party had expanded. I think by the time I left, there was six, seven buses, maybe even up to 10, and I think they got as far as 13. But there was a big crew of buses, and he was sending them all over the state. So it was a real operation, and he was the central manager of the whole thing, managing on telephone. And so there at the temple, in some rather public place, he was talking on the phone with one of the leaders of his bus party. I say his, because Vishnu Janmaraj was also there, but he was into preaching and kirtan. He was not very much into management. So that was Tamal Krishna Maharaj's department. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj was, you could say, putting a lot of energy into this telephone conversation to correct this person's thinking on the other end. I'm putting it in kind of, you know, very nice language, but it was quite intense. And Maharaj was raising his voice and, you know, speaking very bluntly. And it was in a kind of public place, so, you know, that professor was nearby, observing the whole thing. And then after the phone conversation was finished, and Maharaj put the phone down, the professor said to someone, he said, you know, I haven't seen anything like this since the Third Reich. So Maharaj had this kind of aura around being a very heavy person, dictatorial, all of that. So there are many persons who have these experiences with him. My relationship with him was kind of more relaxed and humorous. He would try to do these things also to me too. I mean, well-meaning, and I understood it. But I just couldn't take it that seriously. So, but I appreciated him. Seeing that nature of his to be a controller, I wasn't particularly, you know, attracted to that. At least I knew I didn't want to be under his control. But that didn't make me draw some, you know, bad conclusion about him. I could see that he has this nature and he's trying to engage it in the service of Srila Prabhupada, and he has such profound devotion to Srila Prabhupada that, you know, all of these things which would be considered by others to be faults or whatever, they were just part of the relationship with Prabhupada, and Prabhupada knew so expertly how to deal with him. So I remember in Chicago there was the Radha-Dhamma party had converged there when Prabhupada was visiting Chicago, and there was a big installation, Gauranga Devi's for Radha-Dhamma buses being installed, and also a very large initiation. There were many bhaktas from all these buses, and they all got initiated in one line. It was very impressive. And so Tamal Krishna Maharaj, for these boys, he was standing by Prabhupada on the Vyasa, next to the Vyasasana, with all the beads, and giving each bead, and the boys would come up, and Prabhupada would ask them the four rigorous principles and give them their name in the bead. So at one point, one of the boys who I sort of knew well, he was a friend of mine, he came up, and Prabhupada stopped the whole proceeding. Prabhupada said, why? Because he had some tear in his kurta or dhoti. His cloth was torn open. And Prabhupada said something about why your cloth is torn. And the voice kind of said, this is all I have. These are my clothes. And then Prabhupada turned to Tamal Krishna Maharaj for an answer. And then Tamal Krishna Maharaj started to say, Srila Prabhupada, he's so much engaged in Sankirtan that he doesn't have time to attend to these things. He's so much serving. And Prabhupada said, cut him off. And said, no, he's serving you. That was the first thing. So I could see, and I want to explain step by step, Because this is a very intense thing, and there's always this tendency to, you know, for devotees to smirk and say, wow, Prabhupada really gave all this water to the shot on the head. But I wasn't seeing it like that at all. I could see, first Prabhupada said, he's serving you. So at the time, Prabhupada was the guru of the Hare Krishna movement, the founder of Charya, the ultimate authority. There was GBC, but above GBC was Prabhupada. And GBCs were very well known. They might make some resolutions and Prabhupada would see them and turn them upside down, throw them out, cut this out. Although, so Prabhupada, but still Prabhupada was giving responsibility so that he said, he is serving you. Not that he's serving me. Because that was Tamal Krishna Maharaj's line of explanation. That he's serving you with so much unconcerned for anything else, and therefore his cooperation with. No, he's serving you. You are responsible for this Radha-Dhamma-Dharma party. And you should ensure that these boys are nicely taken care of. So Prabhupada chastised the Tamal Krishna Maharaj, but at the same time, he was underlining Maharaj, the responsibility that Maharaj had, that was given to him by Srila Prabhupada. So I was appreciating this relationship, this flow of energy between Tamal Krishna Maharaj and Srila Prabhupada. And I could see that although Maharaj is as he is, he has his certain personality, but actually that is inseparable from Srila Prabhupada, his spiritual master. Srila Prabhupada was engaging him. Whatever he was doing was under Prabhupada's authority. Tamal Krishna Maharaj might step over the line sometimes, you know, to the dismay of other devotees, but he was 100% absolutely loyal to Prabhupada, and so Prabhupada would correct him, and Tamal Krishna Maharaj was waiting for that correction. So I appreciated this very much, and I felt I got some, you know, good mature insights. Because this, I don't know about now, in ISKCON, I hope the tendency has gone down, but in those days, everyone was quite neophyte. And there was such a marked tendency to make loose remarks, to gossip, to make jokes, you know, to just fling out comments. And this is actually all Vaishnava Bharat. And we can see, you know, you see over time, let 10 years go by, 20 years go by, 30 years go by, we see that Tamal Krishna Maharaj, who is, you know, well known, been accused of so many things, he was still there, serving Prabhupada, and the accusers had gone elsewhere, in various positions under the influence of the modes of nature. So, my association with Tamal Krishna Maharaj, because he was such a heavy personality, and yet at the same time I had respect for him, and I could see his relationship with Prabhupada. So he forced me to become mature in my vision, to go on respecting him, and yet at the same time separate these qualities which I and others might have some trouble with, to kind of separate that from the person. You know, appreciating, all right, this is his nature, and that nature is being engaged by Prabhupada. And sometimes there may be some problem, but Prabhupada is supervising. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj is absolutely loyal to Srila Prabhupada. And I must also say that over the years of his practice in devotional service, I could see the, a maturation in Maharaj himself. That he himself changed. I remember an incident. This was in the 1980s. And I was, whenever we would meet, because we were usually separate. He was somewhere else in the world, I was somewhere else in the world. But whenever we would meet, then there would be immediately a kind of magnetism. He always wanted me to come to talk. And so he had this house in Vrindavan. I was there visiting in 19. I had a very nice association with him in Mayapur. when he was working on a book, a commentary on the Brahma Samhita. He had been giving a class in Mayapur on Brahma Samhita. I attended that. I still have in Mayapur all the tapes from that class. Very, very insightful philosophy, because he'd been doing a lot of research into Brahma Samhita, the original text, and Srila Jiva Goswami's commentary, and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's rendition of that commentary. So there was so much nectar, and working on this book, he was calling me repeatedly, again and again, you know, to, as they say, bounce ideas off of me, to show me what he had just written and ask me what I think of it. And so I had a nice opportunity to discuss philosophy with him. So this stands out in my mind. It may not sound like much, but for me it was very nice, because it was over a good number of days. So it was very nice to be able, after all those, you know, whatever had gone on in the past, just to be able to come into Maharaj's room and sit with him and talk about Krishna. So, tomorrow Krishna Maharaj and Vishnu Jana Maharaj, they had the most deep, profound, and transcendental relationship. And I remember that after Vishnu Jana Maharaj disappeared, it's not certain what happened to him, but it appears that he gave up his body at the Trivedi, the confluence of the Ganga, the Jamuna, and Saraswati. There's no substantial proof of that at all. It has been investigated, but there's just something in the air that indicates that's what happened. But definitely he is no longer with us. And so I remember after Vishnu Jana Maharaj disappeared, some few years after, he appeared to me in a dream. And it was a most vivid dream, one of those dreams that, you know, is, you know, a message, not just some nightly mental speculation, but something very significant. And the dream started with the vision of a most wonderful landscape. It was a completely flat area with very nice tended lawn, but it was huge. It was a huge ground stretching as far as the eye could see. And a few trees here, they're very tastefully maintained. And there was only one building in the whole vista, and it was a most awe-inspiring, beautiful white temple. White marble temple. All very intricately carved. Huge structure also, with a massive stairs going up to the entrance. And there was a long walkway. I mean, from the dream's perspective, it seemed like this walkway through the temple extended for miles, and it was filled with pilgrims going in and out. So that's how the dream started. I was on this walkway going toward this huge temple. And I could understand that this is not in this world. This is in higher ground. And I came to the big entrance staircase going up, big wide marble steps, and hundreds of people streamed in and out. So I began to ascend the steps, and then I came to where the columns are, big, huge marble columns. And as I was passing one column, I heard my name called, and I turned and looked. And there was Vishnu Jana Maharaj, and he was sitting in the shade underneath this column. He was just sitting there, very relaxed, comfortable, with a big smile on his face, on the steps. And he called me over, and I sat down next to him, and it was very intimate. He was just bringing me here, and he was saying that He said, one day we'll all be together. So, now we see Simon Krishna Maharaj's journey. So, I always remember that. It's interesting. One day we'll all be together again. So, I have no doubt that they're together and they're waiting for all of their God brothers to come and join them. This beautiful temple in the spiritual world. Hare Krishna. His Holiness Srimad Krishna Maharaj ki.